North State Public Radio. I'm Ava Nora Grove with your headlines for Monday, October 14th. Many families depend on outside childcare and want the best for their children, but the people who provide that care are often paid poverty wages. A new study shows that this crisis is getting worse. NSPR's Ken Duvall has more on what that looks like in the North State.
A recent report from the University of California, Berkeley, found that childcare workers in all states receive less than a basic living wage. It also found that nearly half of childcare workers' households require state assistance. The minimum wage in California is $16 per hour, but according to a living wage calculator provided by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, a resident in Butte County with no kids needs to make at least $22 per hour to meet basic expenses. The study recommends several policies to address these disparities. It calls for creating wage scales that meet minimum wage living requirements and establishing workplace standards for paid time off, vacation pay, and sick leave. Poor compensation is causing many workers to seek other employment. The study finds that unless these disparities are addressed, it will become even harder for families to find qualified child care. For NSPR News, I'm Ken Duvall.
Emergency officials in Plumas County are asking voters to approve a sales tax to fund public safety. Measure D is estimated to cost residents 75 cents for every $100 spent. The funds would go to public safety services countywide and emergency communication infrastructure. Residents could also submit proposals for projects to be funded via the tax revenue. According to reporting by the Plumas Sun, a similar measure did not receive the two-thirds of votes required to pass in the March primary. In other news, California State University has reported record enrollment numbers this fall, and Chico State has done even better. NSPR's Eric Adams has more.
This is the second year in a row the 23 universities have seen an all-time high number of students. The university system announced preliminary data show an increase of 2% in enrollment from the previous year. The Chico State campus has seen a 4% increase.
That's about 600 extra students compared to last fall. I think our headcount is just shy of 14,600. So that's obviously a good development here. And this is the second year in a row that enrollment is up. So we're looking forward to keeping the momentum going.
Staples says the university has had a recent focus on outreach to get where it is today, like engaging with community colleges in the region to create an easier pathway to the university. This year, Chico State's transfer class is at around 2,000 students. In Chico, I'm Eric Adams.
A Butte County literacy program that helped students with reading and social-emotional development has been given a prestigious award. The County Office of Education's Reading for Resilience Initiative was given the Golden Bell Award. It was handed out by the California School Boards Association. It recognizes programs that help with student literacy in communities affected by natural disasters. Reading for Resilience was created by the Far North Literacy Development Consortium, which focuses on research-backed strategies, student well-being, and academic success. And finally, this November, a majority of the seats on the Chico City Council are up for election. NSPR spoke with the candidates to find out their priorities and plans for office. In District 7, Bryce Goldstein is running against incumbent Deepika Tandon. I spoke with Goldstein about her campaign.
I moved to Chico to work on climate action plan implementation and outreach for the city of Chico. Working for the city of Chico led me to see the ways that our city needs to do better on sustainability and climate action. So that led me to advocating at city council for sustainability, for better planning, including prioritizing infill development rather than sprawl like Valley's Edge. It also led me to realize that we need to take proactive action towards addressing our housing crisis, especially in the wake of the campfire, because we have a homelessness issue. And we also have a housing crisis that impacts working families, it impacts young professionals, it impacts everybody. So I've been going to city council for 7 or 8 years. I also served on the Planning Commission for 4 years, and now I serve on the Climate Action Commission. And all of these things have led me to realize that we need leaders at the city council level who are passionate and ready to put the work in to make our community better.
So what do you see as, I mean, you mentioned a couple, but what do you see as the most pressing issues facing Chico?
Homelessness and housing, which I believe are in many ways the same issue. Those are my top issues, along with transportation, of course. And tied into all of those is sustainability and climate action. We have a traffic safety issue in addition to an issue of the physical condition of our roads. We aren't building enough housing that's affordable to the families in our community, to the students, to the people who want to get out of homelessness but can't afford an apartment. Meanwhile, we have, according to our statewide regional housing needs allocation numbers, our RENA numbers, we have been building more than enough expensive housing, housing for above moderate income levels. Right now, there are more tents than before in Annie's Glen. There's more trash. And this is an issue for everybody, regardless of your political party, but it's been really polarized for years. And unfortunately, I haven't seen our current city council majority address homelessness in a proactive way. They've been forced into funding the pallet shelter and establishing the Eaton and Cohasset site because they were sued. So we need a city council that will actually prioritize proactively addressing homelessness through a multifaceted approach.
What sets you apart from other candidates running in your district? Why should voters choose you?
My opponent is the incumbent for District 7. She's served for 4 years, and I don't feel that she's represented our community well. I don't believe that she's done much. Recently, she has agendized some good things, but I feel that that's only because there's an election coming up. My opponent for District 7 has tended to just vote along party lines without explanation. She's voted against the interests of her community. My district voted very heavily against Valley's Edge. My opponent, Deepika Tandon, voted for Valley's Edge. My opponent has not been responsive to community members who want to talk about issues in the community. I'm not running to represent me. I'm representing my community in District 7, as well as citywide to some degree. I want to know what's going on in my community so that I can agendize fixing those things on city council.
Is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners, the people in your district, the city?
I grew up in the North State, and Chico has always been one of my homes. But one of the things that drew me to live here and to stay here is that we have a good music scene, we have public art, we have a university, and it's a fun and beautiful place to live. And I think some of that's been lost in our austere government that lacks any transparency, that shuts people down for voicing their opinions. I want to bring a little element of joy back to our local government. I want to see Chico just continue to be the wonderful, fun place that it is. I want all the things that drew me to want to live here to be present for future generations. And that includes our city's walkability, our urban forest canopy, our music scene, public arts, our beautiful parks. We need to protect these things, and we need to protect people's ability to afford to live here. So I'm really passionate about working with our community organizations to try to remove barriers to building affordable and missing middle housing. I want to address homelessness, make sure that our streets are safe for everybody.
That was Chico City Council District 7 candidate Bryce Goldstein. Find a longer conversation with Goldstein and other candidates on our website, mynspr.org. And for several weeks, NSPR has made multiple requests for an interview with District 7 incumbent Deepika Tandon through email, social media, and by phone, and received no response. The invitation to Tandon still stands. And those are your headlines for Monday, October 14th. Our theme song is Burrow and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For more local and state news, head to our website, mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Eva Nora Grove.